Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and our guest today is...
Hi, my name is Lori Elizabeth Flynn, and I am the author of The Girls Are Also Nice Here, which releases in the U.S. and Canada on March 9th.
So is this your first adult novel?
Yes, that's right. I've written three young adult books, but this is my first adult novel.
It is definitely an adult novel, I will say. I know, like, sometimes books are considered crossover, but this one, wow, it gutted me to the core. And I've been reading a lot of thrillers during COVID, and usually I just do one right after another. And with this one, I had to take a break for a little while because it really got me. Tell our listeners about the book and how you decided that this was going to be your first foray into adult literature.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for reading it, and I'm so glad that it resonated with you. I guess for this story, I really wanted to explore the dynamics of a female friendship and do a real deep dive into that. And I thought that having a novel set on a college campus would be the best way to sort of dive into the pressures of finding yourself within a friend group and befriending the right people. It's the first time that for a lot of people that they're away from home and they don't have the constraints of being under their parents' roof, and the rules are a little different and the rules no longer apply in a lot of the case. And I thought that that setting would be really interesting to see how this friendship sort of morphs who our main character starts out as to who she becomes later. And that was sort of the seed for how this book developed. And I really wanted to focus on the competition between women and the different expectations on women that, you know, come from both external pressures of society and then internal pressures from themselves.
It worked very nicely because I mean, I can definitely say I'm a while away from it, but you know, that first year of college and especially that first semester, a lot of people just want to rebrand themselves. They want to sort of, you know, become somebody else in a lot of ways. And I think that, you know, the book is told in two time periods. There's now where the main character, Ambrosia, gets, you know, an invitation to go to her college reunion. And then there's the before, when she's remembering exactly why this concept is not nice for her. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that she wasn't so nice in her first semester of college. And a lot of it had to do with the choices she made, who she hung out with, and who she decided she wanted to be. And that centers around Sully, who is she's self-proclaimed not nice, and she does not like nice girls. There's a lot of the concept of how niceness is viewed by girls and young women. And it gave me a lot to think about. I wanted to know, was she based on anybody? I guess either Ambrosia or Sully. And then Flora, who is Ambrosia's roommate, she's the nicest person ever. And you know, the three of them make a very weird, I don't want to say weird, but interesting triad, in just the way that they interact with one another and how the story plays out in the past.
Yeah, I think like they're not based on anyone from real life. Thankfully, I don't know a Sully.
Oh, thank goodness.
Which is probably a good thing.
But they do exist.
They do, and I think the interesting thing is hearing from a lot of early readers who have messaged me and reached out and said, I knew someone like that, but like she wasn't nearly as bad. But I think, and that's what I think I really was kind of going for in this writing this story, is that I think we all have known people who are like all three of these girls, mean girl in our lives. And we've all, maybe some of us have been the mean girl. I think everyone can admit that there's been a time in our lives we haven't treated people the nicest. And I think most women know what it feels like to be, you know, on the receiving end of some bullying, and also maybe, you know, the peer pressure to, you know, if there's to get in with the right friend group. And even if the girls aren't acting so nice, you want to fit in. And I think all of us can relate to that, especially at a time, say when you're starting college, because there is that pressure to rebrand yourself from who you were in high school and this concept of a fresh start. And I remember, you know, feeling like, man, nobody here knew me in high school, so I can really become who I want to be. And there's that such a pressure there. And I think in this story, it sort of explores what Ambrosia, she really went in wanting to become a certain kind of person. And she ended up really not liking who she became as she sort of formed this deep friendship with Sully that she only realizes in hindsight was extremely toxic.
So one thing that I thought was interesting, and you know, it's explained a little bit more in the book. Why did you have her go back to that school after everything with Sully happened? Because the Sully story, and it's a long story, but it really only takes place over a couple of weeks when you think about it. But she still decides she's going to go back to the same college and finish out her 4 years.
Yeah, I think part of her was always searching for Sully on campus and wanting to know what went wrong. And there's still that part of her that wants to be accepted and wants to be the one person that Sully cares about. And the way I wrote Sully was that she really doesn't let anything or anyone mean that much to her. And that's sort of where her power lies. She doesn't want anything badly enough to let it mean anything to her. And I think Ambrosia just wants to be that person, the one person that Sully cares about so much that she lets it become her downfall. And I think she's just, even when things completely go off the rails from school and have a fresh start somewhere else, she does consider it, I think. But ultimately, I think Sully is still that draw for her, where that toxic friendship is still there, even though things ended the way they did. She still has this dark kind of hope that they could reconcile and that the friendship really was what she thought it was.
So what always interested me as well was, so Flora is so sweet. I mean, she is the sweetest person and almost too sweet. And I think that turns Amb off, because that's not who she wants to be. She doesn't want to hang out with the perfect girls. But Flora has a relationship with somebody who Ambrosia meets. And, you know, like, while Ambrosia's relationship with Sully, and again, I'm trying not to talk too much about what happens because it needs to unfold. Ambrosia's relationship with Sully seems to revolve around getting drunk and chewing men up and spitting them out, which is, I guess, what, you know, like if you watch Animal House, that's what the guys are supposed to be doing. Ambrosia and Sully sort of take on that role, I guess, to, you know, consume and throw away these men. Flora has a relationship like a high school sweetheart, and in a way, like, that's looked at as laughable for a lot of the book. But Flora so desperately wants to be friends with Ambrosia, who she knows is so connected to Sully. How did you kind of draw upon somebody like her, who is like a blank slate almost?
I think with Flora, I just wanted to explore the opposite end of the niceness spectrum here. We have Sully, who doesn't care about being nice, and not only that, but she doesn't like niceness. She thinks it's phony. But meanwhile, there's Flora, who is so kind and sweet and thoughtful that Ambrosia is kind of left wondering if it is an act, especially the more time she spends with Sully, who hates niceness because she thinks it's so phony. So I think in Ambrosia's mind, she's been so clouded, her judgment's been so clouded by Sully piece by piece, that she starts to, her attitude toward Flora really darkens, and she starts to think Flora's a phony and starts to see little hints of judgment in Flora where she might have not seen it before. And she's convinced herself that Flora's actually this nasty person in the disguise of a nice person. And I think part of the reason she does that is to legitimize her own actions toward Flora. And I think that's a big part of it. I think Sully's really clouded her mindset and really made her look at niceness differently. And the other thing is, in Ambrosia's high school past, she had a relationship as well. And it ended with her boyfriend cheating on her. And I think that's left her really feeling wounded and long-term relationship and feeling comfortable in it. And then he completely blindsided her. And so the other part of this is that she feels like niceness got her nowhere. So when she gets to Wesleyan and she meets Sully, who doesn't care about being nice, they sort of interact at exactly the right time and the wrong time.
Yeah, I think, like, in a recent interview, we talked, I talked to another author about, you know, this time in college, like, you try on a lot of friends like you're trying on clothes, you know, like, you meet all of these people your first few weeks, and sometimes I wonder, I'm like, man, like, what if I'd actually taken up this person on going to get a cup of coffee, you know, like, how would my life have been different? But maybe because they didn't quote unquote fit what you thought you wanted your college experience to be, it's kind of crazy. And one thing that I loved, and we're talking a lot about the past, we're not talking about the intrigue that it gets to, and I'm going to get there in a second, is that, you know, you talk about Ambrosia thinking that, okay, Flora's not so nice because she's judging me, but, you know, like, a nice person can be a full person too. Like even though she had the name of a Disney princess and kind of like the disposition of one, does not mean that she's just this punching bag that is either judgmental, you know, and laughing about you behind your back, or a literal Disney princess. And it was thoughtfully done. But so what you do find out, because the book really starts with Ambrosia, she's married to a man who's a bit younger than her, but is a real sweetheart. I mean, is really, really nice. And she's not going to go to this reunion at first, but she starts getting these like letters being like, hey, you need to go to this reunion because we need to discuss something that happened. And it takes a while to get where it's going, and it goes back and forth. Have you been to a college reunion?
I actually have not been to a reunion. And, I think if I did, it would be a very different experience than this one, thankfully. It would be really interesting. I think the reason I thought of the reunion I really thought it, having the same setting in both timelines would be fascinating to explore how the main characters have changed and how they've stayed the same. Because I think being back in the same place with the same people surrounding you, even 10 years or so later, you really can have this perfect like setting to figure out how have I changed since then and how have I stayed the same? And the answers might be a little bit not what you expected. So when I was playing around with how the structure for this book could work, I really thought that the reunion would provide the perfect sort of scope for this self-realization. And I think for Ambrosia, she's sort of has to confront a lot of hard truths, and she has to do it with her husband by her side, who really knew nothing about her past because she hasn't told him about these dark parts of herself. So I thought that dynamic would be really interesting to explore, and the tension created by her trying to keep her husband away from the truth sort of adds another layer of stress to her weekend, as it's already getting extremely stressful.
Yeah, because he's trying to get to know who she was, because he only knows who she was based on the friends that happened after Sully. He has no idea about this lost semester where things were very, very different at all. And he seems to, he's emotional. He tells her everything, and she's spending this book doing damage control with Sully and trying to dodge him so she could figure out exactly who's trying to confront her at this this reunion.
Yeah, exactly. I think that dynamic just becomes extremely stressful for her, because she really is trying to conceal who she was and from him. And I think she's also really tried to forget who she was and justify what she's done in her mind as being not as bad as she thought. And that's how she kind of lives with it and has lived with it for so long. But there's so many factors that are really making her face the past, like literally making her face it, because she's received these letters, and then she see Sully again, and they really have to be sort of working in almost 14 years, and they've never spoken about that last semester. And husband just really wanting to know who she was in college. It's just a curiosity thing, same as I'm sure a lot of people have with their partners. You tell stories about the past, and he's kind of coming to realize what she hasn't talked about her freshman year at all, and why is that? And so that's a whole other dynamic that is at play as the weekend unfolds.
Well, this book, again, I'm deliberately not saying certain things. I will tell the listeners, it gets very, very dark, but it is a really good read. And if you're there for it, stay there for it, because you will be thinking about this book for weeks and weeks after you put it down. I have to say, usually when I read a book that affects me this much, my first thought is, okay, I'm going to reach out to the author right away and say, we need to interview about this. This one, I really needed to sit with it for a little bit to process my own feelings before I reached out to the author, because it did affect me so, so much.
Well, thank you. I'm really glad that it resonated. I think it's my hope with this book is that it does, you know, open up some discussions and kind of allow, make women sort of look at the concept of niceness and the pressures that are on us and at different stages in our lives, and the expectations and just the labels of being a mean girl or a nice girl, and sort of how those can get tangled up. I think there's a lot to explore, and that's really what I was hoping for with this book, is that it would, women might feel seen while reading it in different ways, and sort of be able to to relate, even though some of the subject matter is dark and some of the thoughts in the book are dark. I think in spite of that, I think, you know, all of us can relate, as I was saying earlier, to being mean sometimes to people or being on the receiving end of that. And those feelings, even if they take place in high school or college, I think don't ever go fully away. And that's why I think we can relate to stories like these where, you know, there's bullies and there's people who are bullied. And I think everybody has a story to tell in that regard.
Yeah, it's all about power. I mean, there's so much power struggle in that dynamic and in this book, you know, about the power and who wields it. And I think, I mean, first of all, the names are very interesting. So Ambrosia, how did you come up with her name?
I don't even really know. I think whenever I'm writing a story, the names just kind of come to me. And that was always her name, even in that first draft I ever wrote. And I don't know where I even got that name from. It just felt like it had to be her name. And then as I was writing, because I don't plot, figure things out as I go, I realized that the name just really suits her because, you know, she's hated her name her whole life and it's always been abbreviated and to Amb. And I think, and then she's gets frustrated because people call her Amber. And she's got this complex almost about being forgettable and people not bothering to remember her name. And one of the things that Sully does early on is remembers her name. And Ambrosia sort of takes that to mean something. And so I think having this unusual name that she hates really is part of her character. And I think my subconscious was at work when I named her, because looking back, it really had to be that name. And then Flora's name also just came to me, and it sort of seemed like the perfect name for the girl as sweet as her. Even though what you were saying earlier is true, like just because a girl's nice doesn't mean she's not complicated as well. So Flora's not, you know, everybody's got something under the surface. So Flora does as well. But I think, when Amb meets her and she, you know, sees how perfect she is or how perfect she perceives her to be, and she has this Disney princess name, it sort of gives her more ammunition to make fun of her and, you know, decide who she is, stereotype her just based on her appearance and her name. So, and I think all people when we have no idea about them. So that's sort of another theme of this book. And Sully's name is her first name, Sloane.
Yes.
And I kind of wanted to give her a name. That's such a cool name.
Yeah.
So
I mean, everybody thinks, or at least for me, like Sloane Peterson in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Although Sully is very much different than Sloane Peterson.
She has, she has this name, this cool girl name, Sloane Sullivan, but Ambrosia remarks early on, she makes everyone call her Sully. It's like she doesn't even care that she has this cool name. And I think that's also part of Sully. She just doesn't care about the things that other people care about. And, you know, that's another thing that kind of draws Amb to her. She's like, well, the true power comes with not wanting anything. And there's a line in the book about that, just not letting anything mean too much to you, essentially, is where they decide that power really comes from.
Well, thanks so much for talking to me about this book. Are you writing anything else right now?
I am. I'm working on my next adult book, which will be out next year. So it's been a lot of fun to write, and it's another psychological suspense centered on women and the experiences women have. And I hope that readers who enjoyed this book will also really enjoy the next one.
Thank you so much. Okay, so once again, this was Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. And
I'm Lori Elizabeth Flynn, and I hope that everyone enjoys this book, and I'm glad that I was able to be here today.
All right, we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
it's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.